Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We've got a packed, interesting show today, part of our week-long plan to go deep on the Democratic Party of Illinois as members convene virtually for the party's national convention. But first, I wanted to mention a few other stories we're following this Monday morning. Governor J.B. Pritzker is scheduled to be in East St. Louis this afternoon discussing COVID mitigation strategies being imposed in Metro East. These heightened restrictions on activities follow three consecutive days of positivity rates greater than 8%. And over the weekend, we lost a giant of Illinois politics, literally and figuratively. James R. Thompson served four terms as governor of Illinois from 1977 to 1991, the longest anyone held the job. Known as Big Jim, he was 6 feet 6 inches tall. Thompson had also been a corruption-busting U.S. attorney. He'd go on to lead a powerhouse international law firm and also served as co-chairman of the National 9/11 Commission. He died Friday at the age of 84. We'll have a brief remembrance today, but more extensive coverage of Thompson's life and legacy next week when we're covering the Republican National Convention. So, first, Democrats are convening, as I said, in Milwaukee for their quadrennial national convention. Or I should say they're not convening there. Instead, they're meeting at dining room tables, living rooms, and home offices across the country. The Illinois delegation got together for a rally of sorts, if you can call watching a series of people on a webinar a rally. Let's take a listen to some of what was said Sunday evening.
Welcome, everyone, to our welcoming reception for the Democratic National Convention. We welcome you all. We look forward to a successful convention.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we...
As we say every 2 years, this is the most important election in our lifetimes. Of course it is, but this election is not just important. It is without a doubt the most consequential election which any of us have ever participated in.
Illinois Democrats, we are like the big wheel, and we're ready to roll.
The fact that we're not in Milwaukee, the fact that we can't meet in person, is a reflection of just how poorly Donald Trump and his administration have managed, no, mismanaged this pandemic.
And the hope of the bread.
Outstanding.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
The sound of two hands clapping there came from Mary Morrissey, Executive Director of the Democratic Party of Illinois. Before that, we heard from Party Chairman and Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan, Congressman Brad Schneider and Danny Davis, Senator Tammy Duckworth, and the national anthem performed by the Phelps Sisters, which includes Biden delegate and former State Representative Natalie Phelps Finney. Joining me now to talk about the convention are Amanda Vinicky, correspondent for Chicago Tonight on PBS station WTTW, and Rick Pearson, chief political reporter for the Chicago Tribune. Amanda, Rick, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So, Amanda, I'm going to begin with you. What are conventions usually like? What would you usually be doing on the Monday morning of a convention? You've been covering these since, I think, 2008 for public radio listeners across Illinois, although you're now at public television. What would you usually be doing on a Monday morning?
Monday morning, I would be covering, presumably, the breakfast. That's how the day begins. And by breakfast, it's not just eating. In fact, reporters don't really have a whole lot of time for that because the night before, you were likely busy covering something, the typical convention stuff, you know, the big event in the auditorium. Although obviously at the beginning, you'd be seeing who's arriving, who's going with who, what's going on. And then the breakfast is when you'll have speeches. That's sort of when the Illinois delegation gets together, everybody's in one room, and you would chase after the leaders. So that's what we would be doing now. Let's be clear. The chairman of the Democratic Party is Michael Madigan. We heard from him there. He was able to make, on Sunday, at this quote-unquote reception, made a couple of statements, but he would be followed by a ton of reporters in a typical year, and that's what I would be doing right now, were we not all instead covering this and watching from home, where Madigan is free from all of our microphones and questions.
Yeah, Rick, would you have any questions for Speaker and Chairman Madigan if you could see him in person this year?
I think I would be filling the room in Waukesha, Wisconsin this morning with questions of the Speaker. I mean, this is, if there's a beneficiary of this virtual convention, no one benefits greater from it than House Speaker and State Party Chairman Michael Madigan.
And maybe we should remind listeners why, because of his, you know, status as the latest public official A in Illinois history, I guess.
Sure. I mean, the longest serving House Speaker in the nation, serving for all but 2 years since 1983. Right now, he's embroiled in controversy over the decision by Commonwealth Edison to pay a $200 fine and cooperate with federal prosecutors over the fact that the prosecutors allege that for nearly a decade, they paid out jobs, they paid out contracts to Madigan allies in order to win the favor of the Speaker. Speaker has not been named. He's not been charged with any wrongdoing, says that he's never done anything wrong that would not be for the state of Illinois. But certainly more calls coming from within his Democratic Party and frankly from within his House members asking him to step down as House Speaker or as party chairman or both.
Yeah, and I guess we would just want to see in person if people were avoiding him, right, or coming up to him, and just how are Democrats handling their relationship with the Speaker? Amanda, I heard you. Sorry, I stepped on you trying to get in there. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say exactly that. In a typical convention, and that is why I think this is such a loss for political journalists and our viewers, listeners, and readers, and also for you have to feel bad for first-time delegates, folks who were really excited about this, whether they be backers of Biden or people who are thrilled to see Kamala Harris as the VP nominee, that will be missing out on all of that interaction with one another. You feed off of one another. It's like watching a concert from home versus being there in the flesh. It might be great. You can perhaps see on your TV, your HD TV, the sweat on somebody's brow and the look on their face, but that's not the same. I, for one, would much rather, you know, be in the stands in a non-pandemic year, dancing along and being along with folks. And so for both the RNC and the DNC, that is missing. But in terms of the DNC right now, this Madigan, that this moment in time, we would be watching who's speaking with him. Presumably, those who have called on him to step down would be having conversations, as would Madigan protectors, with other members of the party saying, hey, we've got to stick by him, and this is why. Look at this. Look at the basically attention that Illinois gets, because we are such a dominant Democratic Party in Illinois. There's just so much that is missed by this going virtual.
Yeah. I want to remind our listeners, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Amanda Vinicky, who's a correspondent for Chicago Tonight from PBS station WTTW in Chicago, and Rick Pearson, chief political reporter at the Chicago Tribune. We're talking about the Democratic National Convention, sort of previewing it. We've talked about what is being missed by it being virtual this year. Rick, I wonder, what can we expect from these conventions? Are there any big stories you're watching for or expecting to come out of the Democratic Convention this week?
I think the ultimate story is whether a candidate for president or presidential ticket gets a bump out of a virtual convention. I mean, as Amanda said, you've got all of the passion of the delegates that are all convened, the networking that goes on. I mean, it's truly a big rally. And to try to convey that to pre-recorded or a televised event, and sure, that's how most people, when they look at conventions, that's how the public sees it. But that inability for interaction among delegates really kind of lessens, I think, the import of this. I talked to Clem Balanoff, who's a Bernie Sanders delegate, and has been a longtime Bernie supporter. And basically he said, you know, this is what it is. We would have liked to have had more input from the Sanders side with Biden's people involving the party platform and those kinds of things, except it just wasn't doable in this atmosphere. And besides, for Democrats, he said, the biggest factor to unite disparate Democrats is wanting to beat Donald Trump.
Yeah, Amanda, do you think that this kind of virtual convention might suppress some of the dissent, the very real dissent that still exists within Democratic circles between over issues like policing and whether to fund or defund and, you know, what extent to restrict law enforcement in this country or, you know, socializing medicine, to what extent that should happen? Amanda, do you think that this sort of pushes that dissent to the side for now?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not sure it suppresses, because that would be an active endeavor to try to smother and nullify. And while certainly there are members of the Democratic Party that would love for that to go away, at the same time, yeah, that's just not going to make it on TV. This is all these conventions, of course, are pre-planned. What you see if you're sitting from home is a very heavily orchestrated event. And that's what we're all going to take part in. But it's those side conversations. It's the platform debate. It's the signs that people carry. It is the stories, frankly, that journalists do by partaking in and watching some of these organic conversations. That's what you're not going to get. And so, yes, that is not going to be, I think, as much a part of the narrative. For example, Lori Lightfoot is scheduled to, you know, be part of the event. She's going to, I believe it's a conversation with Vice President Biden. We will add in our stories, of course, locally, what has gone on over the weekend and the struggles that she is having politically, as there are those who say she's not doing enough to crack down on crime and protesting, and then those who say that peaceful protesters have been treated in a violent manner. That will be part of it, but that's not going to be part of the national conversation. You're not going to have people perhaps hollering for her or against her that we would be able to witness. So, yes, I think it does allow Biden to, in the Democratic Party leaders, to have their narrative and have those headlines in a very clean capacity that they would not have if there were to be a IRL DNC.
Yeah, and it's always those stories on the sidelines, on the margins, that stand out to me, like Chris Kennedy kind of trying to duck away from reporters as he was, you know, attempting to promote himself as a candidate for governor. Go ahead, Rick.
Well, I was going to say, too, you know, we're at a kind of a seminal moment for the Illinois Democratic Party as far, and also the Democratic Party nationally. And it would be in a regular convention atmosphere that you would have conversations basically about, where is the future of this party? What is the future of this party? How progressive is this party going to get? How moderate is it going to stay? Those would be active, ongoing conversations that would really be directing where the Illinois Democratic Party goes in the future. And that's where kind of Mike Madigan, with his lengthy tenure, you know, falls right in the center of that.
Yeah. And I will tell our listeners, we are planning to bring you those very questions. What is the future of the Democratic Party? And how do the coalitions, the labor side, the Black Caucus, the Latino Caucus, the progressives, the sort of older school machine Democrats, how do they get along and what is the future? So stay tuned all week for that. Just a couple of minutes left. Rick, in the time we have remaining, I wanted to ask you, I think you're the only member of this panel who actually covered Governor Thompson as a working journalist. I did encounter him a handful of times on stories I would work on, more retrospective type stories. But what was he like as governor?
I've noted that for a period, you know, for those 14 years, he was the only governor that a generations of Illinoisans knew. And now we're in a generation that they don't know who Jim Thompson was. He was perhaps the best politician that I've ever seen, best campaigner I've ever seen. Times were different where people weren't in partisan silos. His floor leader in the Illinois legislature was the Democratic president of the state Senate, Phil Rock from Oak Park. I mean, that's how times are so vastly different these days. But there was a lot of fun. There was a lot of work. Thompson was a builder. He loved to cut deals. He was a pragmatist. and better to take half a loaf than no loaf at all. And truly just a symbol of how far our politics have come since then.
Yeah, and I think some of the things that have been mentioned in terms of his legacy are the deal to get Comiskey Park, or I guess whatever White Sox Park is going by nowadays.
Guaranteed the right field.
Yes, of course. It's right off the tongue. The new Sox Park built, of course, the James R. Thompson Center in downtown Chicago, which may or may not be long for this world, depending on how that goes. And as I said earlier, we're going to have a lot more coverage of Jim Thompson next week during the Republican National Convention. I want to thank Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune, chief political reporter there, and Amanda Vinicky, who is a correspondent for Chicago Tonight on WTTW. Rick and Amanda, always great to talk to you. Thanks for being here again on the 21st.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And listeners, stay tuned. We've got a conversation coming up just after a short break about the 1968 Chicago Democratic National Convention, also a time of national crisis, a time of massive social unrest and protest. That conversation in just a moment. Stay with us. This is the 21st.